Take your Bible, turn to Romans 7, if you would. And, boy, I'll tell you what, this Romans chapter 7, probably one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. I like certain areas of the Bible. I mean, the Bible's the Bible, and I love it all, but I'm just naturally drawn to certain areas. Romans 7 is one of them. I like Jeremiah. If I were to relate to anybody in the Bible, I think I relate to Jeremiah. And I like Jeremiah in that when that old king took a penknife and cut up the words of the Bible, Jeremiah said, write another one. Amen. Just like the other one, because you cannot destroy the incorruptible word of God. Let me hear you say amen. And I like that. But Romans chapter 7 is a very, very beautiful teaching. It is a teaching intended for saved people. Up till, you know, in all the book of Romans, we've been talking about how God saves people, how people need to be saved, and we're still really dealing with that. But Romans chapter 7 it's kind of like the Declaration of Independence for a Christian. And I'm just, before we read the text this morning, we'll read the whole chapter. I like to do that. But I want you to ask yourself this morning, number one, are you saved? Are you true? Do you know that if you died today that you would go to heaven? And if you're like me, you say amen to that, but every now and then there's always a doubt in your mind. Every now and then there is, and you just might as well get honest about it, because I'm honest with you today about it, that every now and then there's doubts in my mind. I'm not getting any younger. I know that, okay? My back is—it's kind of like Jared today. My back's not doing good, and my eyes—I'm already switched over to bifocals. Now I'm going to have to get them stronger sometime, because I'm getting where I can't read and can't see, and this and that and the other. And I just don't have the strength of my youth left in me anymore. And Matt, what that does is that makes me think about dying. Okay, because now I can see it happening. You know, there for a while, and nobody was going to kill me. Okay. But I can kind of see it happening now. And I tell you, when I die, I'm going to go have to stand before God. I'm headed to court. And every now and then I'm telling God, I'm trusting the word now. I'm trusting the word. Okay, I'm going by what that book said. And but God always gives me things that will help me. And the reason why I'm asking that this morning is that I want this message to be a help to you. To let you understand that just because you got saved being saved here on this earth does not make you instantaneously a sinless, perfect, pious, never do anything wrong individual. Say amen to that. Okay? And I'm really afraid that some of what's coming out of some, there's always two extremes coming out of pulpits. There's always extremes of everybody's saved no matter what you do. And then there's the other extreme of only a few people are saved because of what they're doing. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Listen, you're not going to reach me with that one. Amen. Because I'm not a performer kind of person. But I'm afraid of what comes out of some pulpits in this country and probably around the world is an idea that once you get saved that you're expected to live a high standard. And if you ever break that, then there's something wrong with you and this, that, and the other. And I want to tell you something about Mike Hoggard, is that I hope that you know and believe that I love the Lord and I love this Bible and I love the truth and I love the doctrines of the scriptures and hate the world. But I will tell you that there's another side to Mike Hoggard that is contrary to everything that I just said. Okay? And I'm going to Romans 7 is intended to be a helps type message for you today. So that, I mean, it's okay to ask God every now and then, God, am I saved? There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's good and healthy. Amen. It's good, just good every now and then to get along with God and say, God, are we still there? Okay. I mean, is your blood still applied? It's okay to do that. But what I hate to see is the devil get in you and you just beat yourself to death over your past. Remember what I preached last Sunday morning about the trash. If it's in the past, let it be buried and leave it there. Amen. Okay, move. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, let us move forward. And so this message helps me, and I'm going to preach it. I probably, this is probably a two-part message, But I'm going to preach it by way of an Old Testament illustration. I've learned that for every New Testament doctrine, there's a picture in the Old Testament of this doctrine to show you how it really is, how it really works, so that we can. How many of you like to read books with pictures in it? Amen. That's easy. Amen. And God, because God knows we're children. So he drew pictures in the Bible for us so that we could look at it and go, okay, that makes sense to me. So we're going to be in two places this morning. We're going to be in Romans chapter 7, and then we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 25. So you might want to go ahead and flip over there real quick and stick a bookmarker in there or the bulletin or something like that and hold that place, because that is where we're going. But anyway, Romans chapter 7. I asked you this morning when we came to church, does anybody here want to hear from the Lord through the pages of the Bible? Can I hear you say amen? Then ask God, as when we pray, ask God, God, teach me something. Now, Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren? Now remember what I said. He's preaching to save people. He's preaching to brethren. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you still alive? Okay. Then the law has dominion over you, or at least over one part of you. And we'll explain that here in a little bit. Now he's going to give an illustration out of the law of how this works. He's going to give us enlightenment from the very pages of the law itself as an illustration. He said in verse 2, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, as ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. Now, don't you get this? Because I'll tell you what, I know where we're going, and I like it. I like the Bible, okay? Though that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Are you here because you have to be, or are you here because you want to be? And I think that this morning, I think it's manifest that you're here this morning because you want to be in God's house. Amen. Say amen to that. Listen, I didn't come to your house knocking on your door at 6:30 and say, you better get up now. You better get, if I don't see you in church this morning, we're going to have a meeting on you. Okay? I'm not going to do that because I wouldn't want you to come over to my house at 6:30 and drag me out of bed. Amen. I'm just trying to be fair and honest about it. So you're here this morning, not because of the letter of the law, but you're here this morning because you know the law is good, and you do it not because you have to, but because you want to. Amen. Now, every now and then, somebody try to enlighten me about biblical tithing. I believe you ought to tithe. Amen. I believe that's in the law. And I believe that, in fact, it was ordained before the law because Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek before the law was. Amen. I mean, it's just common sense stuff is what it is. But you got people running around and say, oh, that's under the law. We don't have to do that anymore. Let me tell you about the law. The law is now that we're under grace. You don't tithe because you have to. Why do you do it, Jared? Because you want to. Amen. Now listen, when it's the law and you have to do it, you're mad about it. Amen. Who in here gets real happy when they get pulled over by the police? I'm going to tell you, right before Lisa and I got married, I was high strung then. Okay? Right before we got married, I had just got paid and I wanted to take Sweetie Pie out on a date on Saturday. Okay? I mean, I was looking forward to it, but I didn't have a drop of money, but I had my paycheck. And I got home from work on Friday and I thought, well, you know what? I'll go to the bank Saturday and get this check cashed, and I'll take her out. We'll have us a nice dinner, because back then she didn't eat nothing. I could eat everything that was on her plate. So I was really looking forward to it. So anyway, you know what I did? I played around. I forgot that banks close at 12 on Saturday. And I waited around to about, I'd hem-hauled around about 12:30, 1 o'clock. I decided I was going to mosey into town and cash my check. So I'm coming into town, going right past this intersection down here, and there was a cop sitting down there. Speed limit is 45. And I'm driving past this, and I watch this guy, and I'm going, I need to remember this on the way back so I don't forget this, okay? Because I'll get the money in my hand. Man, I'll be happy to get home. So anyway, drove down to the bank, sitting there shaking the door like this to the bank. Let me in! It's like the doors of the ark. They're not letting me in. I'm mad. I'm angry because I'm the Ponderosa won't take my paycheck. Amen? That's the kind of guy I was. Okay? So anyway, she's lucky it wasn't McDonald's. Amen? So anyway, I'm coming back the same way, and I'm angry. And I'm disgusted. And I drove past that cop 57 miles an hour. Boom. Well, here he come. And he pulled me over here to Cloverleaf here at 55 and 67. And I rolled that window down. And he looked at me and I said, what? Did you know you was doing 57 back there? And I said, yeah. You know what he did? He wrote me a ticket. Listen to me. The cops, the police are there to force you to obey the law. And when we get pulled over, we don't like it. When we're made to obey the law, when we don't want to, we're mad about it. But when God gets in our heart, he puts righteousness in us, we want to do it because it's the right thing to do. Somebody say amen. So don't give me this nonsense about, oh, God's freed me from having to pay tithes anymore. You ain't free. Amen. You know what you're in bondage to? Dollar bills. That's what you're in bondage to. But anyway, I like being free. Say amen. So anyway, let's see here. Verse 6 again. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And just in here, I keep repeating myself on this deal, but just in case you get all high and mighty about yourself and how you obey the Ten Commandments, let me ask you a question. Have you obeyed number 10 this week?
No.
Amen? We are covetous. We lust. We see things, we go, oh man, I want that. 99.9% of television advertising is covetousness. It is to get you to lust after something that you don't have so that you'll do anything to get it. Am I telling you the truth? Say amen. So anyway, get off your high horse on your own self-righteousness. Amen. You violated the law of God. Verse 8, but sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. I want you to think about your sin and the deception that your sin is to you. It's a deceiver. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Now I want to stop right here and just kind of go back a little bit. We're going to kind of probably preach on the other half of this chapter, maybe next Sunday, just on depend how the Lord moves. But anyway, I want you to think about the law and think about the illustration that he gave in Romans chapter 7, verse 2 about a woman being married. I'm going to ask you a question. Is marriage a holy thing? Amen. Marriage is an honorable thing. Somebody say amen. Okay, and I could go into this big old long deal about marriage today, but I won't do that. And I'm not going to talk about divorce or anything like that. But what I'm going to preach to you is that when God ordained marriage, marriage was a good thing. And I want you to keep that in your mind. And I want you to just remember what God's trying to teach us today. All right. Now I want us to go to 1 Samuel chapter 25, and I want you to turn there. But before I start preaching this, I want us to pray first and just ask God to bless and that God will give me some clarity here this morning and I'll get us out at a reasonable time and we'll just say we've had a good time in the Lord today. All right. But anyway, let's turn there, 1 Samuel chapter 25, and then let's ask God to help us this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for this beautiful day that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for this crowd of people. Lord, I love them. Lord, these are my best friends in the whole world. I thank you, dear God, for them. And I pray, God, that you would encourage my friends and help them, dear God. Lord, they've helped me and they've been an encouragement to me, God. And Father, I just pray, dear God, Lord, that you just double that back to them, Lord, today. That if there's someone here, Lord, that's just really, Lord, they're hurting and they're struggling, or they just need answers. And Lord, they just need a blessing. I pray, God, that you would give it to them this morning. Lord, I thank you for this church and for this Bible and for this wonderful faith that we have. Lord, help us to share it. Lord, wherever we go, help us to share the faith that we have. And Lord, just honor your word and the testimony of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I need to get going with this because got a lot to go through. There's a whole chapter here. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. And very quickly, I'm going to just kind of introduce you to the characters up here real quick. The main character of this chapter is a woman by the name of Abigail. Okay. Now, there are two men that show up in this deal, and I'm going to write their names down real quick. We have David and we have Nabal. Now, Abigail, now I want you to listen to this because we just had the illustration of marriage. Abigail at this time is married to Nabal. Now, marriage is good. Amen. Marriage is the law. And I mean, if you don't think that, God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And adultery's, if you're committing adultery, you're violating your marriage. So marriage is good. Somebody say amen. Okay. I'm saying you had to be happy about it every day, but marriage overall is good. All right. So Abigail is married to Nabal, but we're going to find some things out about Nabal. And we're going to ask ourselves, boy, I'll tell you what, Abigail is going to be us in our soul. Okay? Abigail is going to be who we really are. That's our soul. And then we're going to talk about David. So let's get into it here real quick. 1 Samuel 25. And the Bible says, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in the house at Ramah. David arose and went to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. So here we have this introduction to this man by the name of Nabal, and we're going to find out about him here in a minute. And Nabal was a very, very wealthy man. Now, I don't know if you know rich people, but rich people are really glad that they're rich. Okay? And they're very excited about being rich, and a lot of rich people are rich because they don't let anybody touch anything that's theirs. Okay, there's a lot of they might write a check every now and then, make them feel good to charity and stuff like that. But the truth of it is, rich people are not the best people that I've ever met in my life. And you probably agree with that. Somebody say amen. By the way, it's the rich people that are a lot of the rich people destroying our country right now. Okay, because their God is money. But that's who Nabal is. Verse 3. Now, the name of the man was Nabal. Does anybody know what that name means? We're going to find out here in a little bit. The Bible is going to tell us what his name means. All right. And the name of his wife was Abigail. And she was a, watch this now, Abigail is a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man, Nabal, was churlish. Does anybody know what that word means? The word churlish, I looked it up yesterday, it means deliberately rude. This man was a smart mouth. He was a smart aleck. He was a cocky, arrogant, rich man. He was a covetous person. He was greedy in everything that he did. The Bible says a fool and his money are what? Soon departed. And guess what Nabal's name means? Fool. Telling you, there's a Bible illustration for every doctrine in this book. And here we have Nabal, who is foolish, he is rude, he's full of pride, and he's covetous. You know what that means? His fleshly nature is never satisfied. A man that has 1,000 sheep, you know what he wants? 1,000 more. Man that has 3,000 cattle, you know what he wants? 6,000 more cattle. A man that has a 100-acre farm, you know what he wants? 200 more acres. Man that has $1 million, what does he want? He wants $2 million. He wants $10 million. He wants $1 billion. The fleshly nature of man is never, ever, ever, ever satisfied. And don't think that if you chase down the desires of the flesh, that one day you'll come to this grand fulfillment and everything will be nice and great. Who will raise a hand and say, no, it doesn't work that way? Somebody say amen. Raise your hand. It doesn't work that way. Listen, young people, the world is going to throw everything it's got at you and say, we'll give you satisfaction, we'll give you fulfillment, we'll give you all this stuff. And us old people are here to tell you it's a lie. Sin is deceiving. It's not telling you the truth. You will never find the satisfaction that you're wanting in life until you bow on an altar and give your life to Jesus and get in this book right here. I'm going to tell you what, at God's right hand are pleasures forevermore, the Bible said. Somebody say amen to that. Listen, you testify to that to these young people. You warn them and say, listen, hun, don't do that. Don't go this way. Don't walk that. Don't hang around those people. I used to hang around people like that. I'll tell you what got me in trouble. Tell your kids the truth, amen, about the covetousness they got in their life. So watch this. Nabal is your flesh. Who in here is a Nabal? Say amen. Who in here is a fool? Who in here's flesh is foolish? Does foolish things. Who in here has a covetous nature in them? Who in here has things and that had things in life and didn't satisfy them? Never satisfied. So get, and who in here? I already asked who in here is rude. Yeah, amen. That one man raised his hand. I'm surprised he didn't say, I am, you idiot. Yeah. But I want you to picture, I want you to look at Nabal here for a minute. I'll tell you what, I don't know that I'll ever get done preaching this message. I'm enjoying myself right now. And I just want to dig everything. I want to pick this all the way to the bone. Is that okay? Okay, so, you know, if we have to cut this off and come back around 1 o'clock, I'm just kidding. Okay? Nabal, I want you to listen about this. Nabal's married to Abigail, and we know that marriage is good, but Nabal, and there's probably men like this, and I've known men like this, rude, smart aleck. Every time you ask him a question, he's mouthing off, smart no. Well, anybody know that, you idiot? And you know what? He talked to his wife that way. He was rude to her. Mean to her. Probably slapped her around a little bit. Called her vulgar names. Forced himself on her. Used her. And when he used her, complained that she didn't have the house clean like he wanted it. And this and that. How many of you can see Nabal this way? Nabal's ought to be shot. Amen? Just remember who's Nabal. Let me tell you about Abigail. Abigail's a woman of good understanding. Your soul wants and understands that this Bible's right. Can I hear you say amen? Your soul knows that this Bible's dead on. And you get it. Okay? And you love the Lord and you love right ways. And you probably have seen people like this in your lifetime where some woman she could be the sweetest gem that you've ever met in your life. And her husband is he's an idiot. And you just look at that and go, how in the world does she put up with that? But see, it's the law. She's married to him, and she's stuck with him. Now, I want you to get this inside of you, okay? And I don't mean to be mean about this, because there's some people that really like our church and like our ministry, and they like what we've got to say. There's a doctrine that goes around, I won't say what church, this and that and the other, that says when you get saved, you're perfect right then and there. You don't sin no more. I mean, it's easy as pie in the sky until you get to heaven. Okay? Number one, I don't believe that doctrinally according to the Scripture. Number two, I'm still waiting for that one to show up. It's not practical. And you know me, I don't think God's people ought to be in bondage. And if I was pastoring you and leading you into a situation in life where I kept trying to convince you that now that you're saved, you have to be perfect, I would be clapping chains of iron upon you and telling you that. And you know what would happen? You know what would happen, Jared? Eventually, you would agree on the outside, and then what you would do is you would make it look like your life conforms to that. But the truth is, it doesn't, which makes you a liar and a deceiver. Because you would just be performing good works on the outside in front of everybody. And then even though you know you're a sinner on the inside, you would be somehow justifying it to say, well, it doesn't matter anymore. And that's not biblical. Somebody say amen to that. Because here's what we all know about each other. And I believe that everybody in here is saved. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. But I know for a fact that this week you've sinned. I know for a fact you have. And it's not because I had my little spies out everywhere watching you. That's not it. What I know for a fact is that you are exactly like me. Okay? Exactly like me. And down deep in my soul, Mike, I'll tell you what, Mike, the soul of me is good. It's got a beautiful countenance. But the man that I'm married to, he's not a good guy. And my soul is dwelling, is part of this body. Does everybody get that? Because that's what marriage is. The man and the woman coming together. My soul is part, it lives as in this body of flesh. And in this body, we're like to be spiritual, but Nabal often calls the shots. Am I telling the truth this morning? Nabal often calls the shots. Okay? Now, he probably don't have as much authority over her as he likes to think. But I guarantee you, when he comes in from shearing the sheep at the end of the day, he gets his way. Amen? But you know, every good woman. Amen? Every good woman, she's the one really running the deal. Amen? Okay, all right. But anyway, so that's who Abigail is and that's who Nabal is. And Nabal is just one of these guys that I'm sure, listen to me now, in fact, if I don't preach anything else, would you listen to this? I'm sure there was times when Abigail laid her head down at night and wept and wished to God that she wasn't married to him anymore. And Joe Polite, I can't tell you the number of times that I laid my head down on... Not you, sweetie. I can't tell you the number of times that I've laid my head down on my pillow at night and said, God, I hate me. And I don't want to live in this life anymore. Have you ever done that? I don't like him. And I don't want to be married to him anymore. I really, really want to be free. And I want to tell you something. If you wrestle with salvation, everybody does. If you wrestle with that, let me tell you something. The mere fact that you have those times where you lay down at night or get alone, wherever it is, and just bawl and cry and say, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. God, I'm under dominion. Isn't that what Paul said? Don't you know that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? And then he gives the illustration of a woman that's married to a man that as long as this, watch this now, as long as this man's alive, he is in dominion over her. And right now, your soul is trapped in a bad marriage. You think about that. Your soul is trapped in a bad marriage. Now I want to tell you something. There's a man named David that you're fixing to fall in love with, and he's fixing to fall in love with you. And David is the righteous King, Jesus Christ, who is David. David is not going to break the law and steal Nabal's wife. That's adultery. Okay? David's going to wait for the law to be fulfilled. And wait till you see what we find out. In fact, that's your homework this week. I want you to go read this chapter. Okay? And you find out what happens to Nabal. And you find out what happens to Abigail. And you find out what happens. I mean, all this stuff is here. But I want you to listen. It's noon, and I like to preach to at least 12:30. Okay, but if I keep going with this, I'll never stop. Okay, because I like this so much. Is that you get tired of being married to this guy? Somebody say amen. Okay, Paul said the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Abigail is, she's part of this man's body, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, okay? But now she's fixing to be part of this man's body. That's sweet. I want to keep going. But if I do, we'll never get out of here. And so I'm not doing this because for you, I'm going to mind the Lord. But I want to leave you today with this idea. If you've ever laid down at your head at night and wept openly to the Lord, or if you've ever been alone with God and wept openly and said, God, I'm tired of serving Him. I'm tired of, God, would you make me free from Him? I'm going to tell you something. He will. He will. He's going to do it according to the law and according to His time. But I'm going to tell you something, people. He will. You older folk, sin, it's kind of running its course in us. Amen? The older we get, we just kind of... Okay? But you young people, won't you listen to me? Because your days ahead have got trouble in them. And at some point, you'll know that God's dealing with you when you get along with God one day and say, God, I can't live this way anymore. And let me tell you something, young people. Don't let the world tell you that this is the answer. Amen. She can't be free until he's gone. But in this story, God will not allow David to kill Nabal. And we'll get to that next Sunday. But I just want to encourage you. Suicide's not the answer. And I want to tell you, this preacher takes a hard stand against it. Amen. Okay? And I've had young people, oh, we knew somebody we went to church with and they were a good Christian, they killed themselves. I'm just saying, I'm not their judge and I'm glad I'm not their judge. But I want to tell you something. I just believe that if you're faithful and you trust Jesus, you trust Jesus. And there's not a problem that can come to this life that God can't fix. Now, I will tell you from personal experience, that's not to say that you may not, that you should never feel like killing yourself. I've been there. But God gave me the grace to say, God, I trust you. And I was right in doing that. Okay? But you're going to get to a point in life where you're going to say, God, I'm tired of being married to this guy. And I want to be free. I want to be free. By the way, Would you ever, as Abigail, want to give this man a child, knowing what he's like? If he'll beat you, but who in here would like to, I mean, just think about it. Okay? And this is what Romans 7 is all about. It's about being married to the right guy and bringing forth fruit. Whew. Man, I wish I could preach this for about 3 hours today. Okay? But I want us to just bow our head right now. Okay? And we've had a great prayer time today already. And I'm satisfied with that. And you know me, I'm not big on, won't you come down here to the altar so I feel good about myself that I know I preach right. Okay? I don't do that. But I'd like for you to just spend some time with the Lord this morning, right where you are. And if you've got something in you, you just tell God, God, I'm really tired of being married to that Nabal. I'm sick of him. Lord, I'd really like to be free. And I know, God, it has to be according to your way and your working. And I can't do it on my own. But God, I'd like to be free. God, I'll wait for it. But God, would you make me free? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for putting something in me, God, that is just totally opposite of my flesh. And my soul, dear God, cries out often and says, God, Lord, I want to be free. And Lord, I believe and trust, God, according to this Bible, in your spirit, that one of these days I will be free. So God, thank you, Lord, for letting me meet Jesus. And now I know what a real man of God is all about. And God, I want to be with Jesus forever. So Lord, help me and help these people this morning. Sanctify us according to your word, God. Draw us, give us wisdom and give us understanding, God, and help us. And Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you would continue to feed us wisdom through this message. Help us to remember, dear God, that it's not over yet, but when it is over, it'll be over for good. Lord, help these people. And as they cry and call out unto you, God, Father, Lord, that they would say, God, I don't want to be married to him anymore. I want you. So Lord, thank you, dear God, for the riches of your wisdom. And fill us with your word and with your power, Lord, as we leave this place. We ask this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.